listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do tell people
who you're gonna turn to next.
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah, get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com, the number one radio podcast in the nation, the number one black radio podcast in the nation, Black Talk Radio Network, and proud to be with them. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at Time for an Awakening. Go to the website and look for other programming and click on that. And the first one you'll see is African Perspectives. Click on that and there. Programs will be there for you to listen to from previous recorded programs that are dated and entitled. I am Brother Oshi, and it's always an honor and a pleasure to be here with you to communicate to our community. also, too, this is a beautiful day. I hope you had a chance to do this weekend. Hope it was a great weekend for you, even for those brothers and sisters in the heart of the country, particularly in the South and New Orleans, Mississippi, Alabama and Arkansas and so forth, who are dealing with the torrential rains. And fortunately, it did not, the hurricane did not present itself the way that they were predicting, and it's a good thing. And so many people were relieved. But I hope you still had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And hey, and I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. This is African Perspectives. We're here, like I said, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, after my program on Monday and Wednesday, is the Black People Matrix from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern. All times are going to give our Eastern times, Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones, immediately following this program on Mondays and Wednesdays. On Monday evenings from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Acres of Diamonds. Following Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from Mondays from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. Revive Wednesdays from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, brothers and sisters, you know it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it ain't me. It is our good sister, POC, with her program Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. In the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. So if you are in the Atlanta area, go to the Greenbrier Mall and you can buy your products directly. You can get that laundry detergent. You can get lotions and creams and salves and batteries and toothbrushes and toothpaste and all kinds of good stuff that is produced by us. They are produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Go to the website. Check out Brother Bomani Tahimba, who has been taking our people to Ghana, specifically and other parts of Africa for many years. Many of the tours and pictures of the tours are on the website. If you want to see pictures or photos from previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. And, of course, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or you can give Brother Tahimba a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. He's got a tour coming up going to South Africa, November 22nd to December 2nd. Going to Johannesburg and to Cape Town. He also has a tour coming up on December 24th to January 4th, 2020. And there's a special. It is $3,700, a 10-day tour. It was $39, but there's a special. You get $200 off while available. Space lasts for 35 people. No other discounts are available. They also have that's package number one. That's the full package. And package number two is $2,500 for Ghana accommodations only. You'll be responsible for your own airline, your own flight, and an additional $500 for any person who just wants a room to themselves. And that tour includes transportation throughout Ghana, daily exercise and meditation classes, daily continental breakfast and gourmet dinner, business and investment conference, networking, enhancing access to all sites and activities. It is going to be a beautiful thing. You're going to go to Accra, Lagoon, and the Brie Mountains, the Brie Gardens, and that's 4 days there in Accra, in that area. Then you're going to go to Elmina and Cape Coast Dungeons in the central region, and Sister Amakus at One Africa. Then you're going to go to Kumasi in the Ashanti region for 3 days, the Ashanti region in Kumasi. So check it out, and that's coming up at the end of the year, but also to remember he has that South African tour that comes up in November. All right. Africa for the Africans. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna has all the stuff that you need. It has everything. It has clothes. It has furniture. It has the red, black, and green shoes, the Nazgat shoes. It has Kwanzaa kits. It has all kinds of stuff, furniture, everything you need. They even have an African Holocaust Museum at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. It is located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy. And they also have a educational program, Know Thyself. They have a history class every Saturday, and it's free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30 on Saturday. But if you cannot attend, but you like that information, you can contact the Shrine because they have a African History Club presents the Multimedia Library. Brothers and sisters, it has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, yes, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment at your fingertips. You want to get that. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. They're located right near the kiosk of We Buy Black. That's right, the Medu Bookstore. So if you buy We Buy Black by their kiosk, look around and bam, there it is, the Medu Bookstore. Medu means writing in ancient Kemet. There was a word that went after it, and that was Netcher, Medu Netcher. That's what the Greeks called hieroglyphs. Medu Netcher, that's what they called it, writings of the gods, because Netcher means God. And You can contact the Medu Bookstore at 404-346-3263 to find out if they have the book or anything else you want. But go there and check out all the things they have there. But check them out. And if they don't have the book, believe me, they'll get it for you. They're open Monday through Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 9, and then Sunday from 12 to 6. The Shrine, of course, I apologize. I didn't give you the Shrine's times of opening because they're not open every day. They're open from Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, and then on Sunday from 1 to 3. There's another bookstore we promote here on the program, and that is my good brother, Brother Gazim Deyajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore located in Lithonia. And the number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. And Brother Ajamu will help you out to find the books you need. He also has the red, black, and green shoes, okay, and the variety that they come in. So, Brother, check out Brother Ajamu. All right. The Black Dot. Cafe Ulu. And Ulu. ULU means us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, cooperative economics. But we like to call it family-centered economics, where we pull our monies together to do for ourselves. They have a broadcast every Thursday night on Blog Talk at 9 p.m. Eastern. The Thursday night broadcast, the ULU Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. Eastern. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. You can be a part of that conversation with the Us Lifting Us, talking about how we can get up out of this madness. Well, we did pull our money together and we created Cafe ULU located here in Atlanta, 2036 Sylvan Road. 2036 Sylvan Road and Sylvan Plaza, open Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. That's right, brothers and sisters. We sell African coffee and coffees from other parts of the world. That's right. We have Cameroon Boyo. We have Tanzania. We have Kenya. We have Ethiopia, where coffee started. And we have Loose Teas by a company right in Atlanta. Because everything that we sell at Cafe ULU is produced by us. We make it. Even the potato chips, Symphony potato chips by a brother and his two daughters who produce that. So, I mean, check out Cafe ULU and the delicious sandwiches we have. Go online. Buy some coffee. Go online and buy some coffee, brothers and sisters. CafeULU.com. Another product that we promote with Cafe ULU is Ambrosia, created by Brother Novak Young. It's a vitality drink, a delicious vitality drink, alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Okay. Akabin Institute. Please, brothers and sisters, support Baba and Yah Baruti as they continue to educate our young men and women to be the kind of warriors that we need for our future. Akabin Institute, located here in Atlanta. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, A-K-O-B-E-N, Institute, at P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to do PayPal and Cash App, they do that too. Contact Yah Baruti. You can make the PayPal out to Cash Sign Yah, Y-A-A-M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And hopefully that'll go through for you. Sister Gabby in Haiti, her program, sanjay-haiti.org. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash A-Y-I-T-I.org. Check it out. Go online. The work that she is doing is phenomenal. She's in the rural area. She's in the northeastern part of Haiti. Please support her. Send donations and so forth. The information is there. SanjayHaiti.org. Sister Gabby. As I state all the time, that we are on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. That's right. And so we're promoting the project, the media fund that Brother Scotty Reed has. for the Black Talk Radio Network. So when you go online to blacktalkradionetwork.com, you can just use the initials, BTRN.com, and they'll pull up and you'll see Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. Click on that. You don't have to do that. Just go to the website because there is a donation piece right there on the right side as you scroll down. Click the donation and give to Black Talk Media Fund, the Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. You know, and to me, he has a lot of organizations there. And when I went on it before, I saw very minimal movement towards the fund. I'm not sure how long the campaign is going to last. But to me, $24,000 for what he's trying to do is minimal. That goal should have been reached. It's going to be reached. Because you understand the value of what we're doing, the information that we're providing, and we need for you to support it. The Inyesesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Inyesesem. July 14th. There's a different significance between retreat and defeat. George Jackson, one of the Soledad brothers in Soledad Prison, and one of our revolutionary brothers. For revolutionaries without the option of defeat, retreat is defined as a collective effort to move back from the front lines to a more secure spaces in order to regroup forces, dress wounds, check morale, reassess resources, and return to the battle with more effective, victorious strategies. Defeat is defined as defeat and is only an option for those truly vanquished, those who have given up on being victorious and are willing to pretend men and womanhood. We have never been defeated. We will never be defeated. No matter the conditions or distance of the retreat, warriors with victorious vision return in force to the battlefield because there is no other reasonable option. If we recognize that Africans cannot be who we are, independent, powerful, ancestral, loving, self-respecting, self-determining in Urugu's presence, then we, as a conscious, rational beings, can be reached one logical I'm turning my head. Okay. I apologize. If we recognize that Africans cannot be who we are, independent, powerful, ancestor loving, self-respecting, self-determining people in Urugu's presence, then we, as conscious, rational beings, can be reached one logical, can only reach one logical conclusion. We cannot share the same space, time, and truth with our enemies. I repeat, we cannot share the same space, time, and truth with our enemies. Affirm, I retreat only to better prepare for victory. Affirm, I retreat only to better prepare for victory. July 15th. It's easy to be hopeful in the day when you can see the things you wish on. Zora Neale Hurston. African men and women coming into consciousness full of a dormant, righteous rage brought to life by conditions and contradictions expect to find an army to work with, not a bunch of personalities debating what we do and don't, can and can't, will and won't. This is confusing and demoralizing. Of course, our enemies know this, and this is what these warriors will find and rely on us having, at most, nothing more than a ragtag militia without a concrete mission other than within a vision of reformed Europeans, Arabs, or Far Eastern realities from which we can better benefit. As revolutionaries, as the idea of others, contradictions coming to the head and imploding may sound to some, such wishful thinking is still other-orientated and centered because the focus is on waiting for the cultural contradictions of others, cultural and society to eventually and successfully turn against them. Affirm. When I cannot find them, I make armies. Affirm. When I cannot find them, I make armies. Yeah. The Inye Sesem, the Book of Revolutionary, Daily Revolutionary Thought. Brothers and sisters, it is an honor and a pleasure as always to be here with you. I appreciate all of the things that we are able to do. And the fact that sometimes, even though there's some mess ups, but believe me, I am honored to try my best to be here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, trying to put something on our minds. As I always say, this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. This program is about independence. It is about self-determination. It is about liberation. It is about sovereignty for African people. There is no other way. We're going to deal with the error this past broadcast was Friday, and my guest was Brother Jamoke Infateyo, who is the chairperson of the local chapter of NCOBRA, and he's also the regional director of NCOBRA, and he also is with Republic of New Africa and other organizations. So I appreciate my good brother being on, and I hope that he can come on Wednesday, because I plan to have Dr. Conrad Wuerl. Dr. Conrad Wuerl, just getting back from their national convention, the National Black United Front, of which he is the chairman emeritus of the National Black United Front. Brother Conrad Wuerl has been on the front lines of struggle for our people for many decades. He is a very powerful African-centered individual, and we're going to talk about the organization. We're going to talk about reparations. We're going to talk about a number of things. So I hope that you can join us on this Wednesday, where my guest will be Dr. Conrad Wuerl. And he has I don't know if you checked it out, but he has a column that appears online from the Crusade, a newspaper, a weekly newspaper in Chicago. Speaking of a newspaper, I'm going to read from the Arrow. And I saw this in the Arrow, and I was like, oh, wow. But I think that I understand, and how much it costs to produce the newspaper. But this is a note to our readers. The June issue, this issue that I'm reading from, the Arrow newspaper will be the last monthly publication effective September 2019. The Organization for African Unity Incorporated will publish the Arrow on a quarterly basis. The quarterly newspaper will increase to 16 pages versus the current 12 pages that it is. Over the years, Africans from around the globe have gained a wealth of information via the Arrow at no charge. We are asking our dedicated readers to become paid subscribers. Please note that the card that has been provided with the newspaper. Subscribe today to ensure you continue to receive the Arrow newspaper and remain informed about African people and our impact on the world in which we live. We thank you in advance for your continued support. Please subscribe today. I've been making that announcement every time I read this newspaper, asking. I am a subscriber. I've been a subscriber now for years. I had my business card on my announcing my radio program in last month's issue, in the May issue. I will subscribe for the quarterly newspaper, and I will advertise in the quarterly newspaper. I really believe in what the brothers and sisters in San Antonio, Texas are doing, and it's always great the last few years to see them drive across from San Antonio, Texas to Atlanta, Georgia, right on time to be a part of the Abakasin Sumsum African Spiritual Warfare in May with my good sister, Dr. Marima Ani, and to see those brothers and sisters and they perform as well. They're part of the program. And they don't physically, none of them fit. This is done over the radio. And when they just come together for that day, it all falls in place. It is beautiful. It is truly the spirit of our ancestors. In the last months, it was fantastic. And Brother Kwaku, he does an outstanding job as Dr. Clark. Man, he channels Dr. Clark for real. He sounds like him. Man, beautiful job. And it was just great to see those brothers and sisters. So I'm saying to you to support the Arrow and the Arrow newspaper. You could take out a, let me find a subscription one. This is about the news. In fact, as I was already saying, the Arrow newspaper is a quarterly publication because it was a monthly of the Institute of the New World Organization for African Unity. Letters to the editors and other comments are welcome. And this is in the memory of James P. Johnson, Brother Phil Johnson, Baba Phil Johnson, who they also call Babu, like they call him, like my grandchildren and young people who affectionately know me call me Babu. So let me get that other piece out here so I can read that to ya. Because I'm going to read the, in the front of the paper is always the, what Baba Phil, and they use his name, his byline. And today I'm going to be reading, Closing Ranks to Energize Our Struggle. Closing Ranks to Energize Our Struggle. And this one they put in there, here's what to do. Tips for when African people come together. Use your historical records when making decisions. Work directly with our people so they are involved in the process. Embrace our counterculture programs and the enculturation program for transformation. That means embracing African culture, African ideas. Establish study groups. Yesterday I was in the ASCAC study group. We had a good live conversation with a number of good people. Over 10, I think over 10, well over 10 people. But anyway, that's what we need. Study groups to come together. Develop economic ways to reach out to the community. Identify problems that can be addressed and solved by the community itself. Work on finding ways to get our people from under the eye of television to a media managed and directed by Africans for Africans. Good tips. To make sure that we do that. Good tips. Where is that at? I want to read this. I read that, the notes. I want to read the letter because last month was their program, the American African Family Month program. And it was Saturday and Sunday, and a lot of good activities. Yah and Baba Baruti and Yah Baruti were in attendance. They were part of the program. A lot of good things were being discussed. African family and the Black African family gathering at Malcolm X, excuse me, at MLK Park there in San Antonio. And so, but they had a letter and to the family. June 2019, greetings. As African people in this country, we have faced many challenges after being forcibly uprooted from our homeland and thrown into a system of enslavement. It becomes a challenge to practice our values and live life according to our customs. Thrust into survival mode, our ancestors did the best they could as they made a way out of no way. Various movements and leaders emerged over time to remind us of our heritage and culture. In the building of self-knowledge, the task of entering into positive relationships with ourselves and other African people became paramount. While books may provide some information and extend our knowledge base, nothing can replace the knowledge and skills base of our elders who have experience to solidify their information. It is only from a strong base that we can rebuild strong, viable communities. Many of the problems we are currently confronted with as a community could be solved by working together in unity. While the proverb, "It takes a village to raise a child," has been co-opted and hijacked by the mainstream media as the first people on the planet, we not only coined the proverb, we live it in the fragmented pieces we are able to salvage from the invaders who destroy our villages. The staff members and donors, friends, parents, and students, and alumni adhere to the words of our forefather and founder, James P. Baba Phil, or Babu Phil Johnson, who coined the phrase, "Change you and you change the world." Let's engage in collective positive unity building activities that strengthen the mind, body, and spirit. Through these activities, we can return our people to a rightful place of respect in the world. Noting that the initial work must begin with self, it is our hope and prayer that this year's Save the African Family Month weekend of events will provide the needed and necessary information to change ourselves so we can change the world. Let's commit to doing the work the Creator and ancestors are calling us to do. We can make the internal changes to facilitate a change in ourselves, resulting in a change in the family, community, and ultimately a change in African people. Judy Freeman, Education Director. Sister Judy Freeman, the Organization for African Unity. And remember, I love the back page. It says, "Leaders wanted, reward, freedom, justice, and power. Study these individuals for qualifications." They have eight individuals: Winnie Mandela, Stephen Biko, Fannie Lou Hamer, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Baba Jetty, Queen Mother Moore, of course, the founder of the Organization for African Unity, James P. Johnson, Yah Asantewa, and Dr. John Henry Clark. They change them every now and then. But those are the people they say you should study, because these are the kind of leaders that we need. I'm not going to go off into some of the other articles. They have a remembering Kwame Ture, whose birthday was up, Stokely Carmichael, and the kind of man he was. So I'm just going to read the front page essay. "Closing Ranks to Energize Our Struggle," by Phil Johnson. "As we hurtled into the year, minds, bodies, and spirits securely captivated and divided by Eurocentric fusion, illusion, closing ranks on the issues of color, self-determination, and freedom of African speech is essential to gaining new ground in our waning struggle. Let us first look at the issues of color. This color thing had its beginning in ancient times. We can clearly see it being advanced during Constantine, one of the Roman emperors, rule. From that time to this, the color game has been cultivated and refined as a science of people control in the maintenance of the global system of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. People who buy into the color game are people who become victims of the doctrine of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. They give birth to the belief that Caucasians are superior, that God is Caucasian, that the only way to live free of violence and have peace is to accept the condition established by European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, and to keep an acceptable physical environment, i.e. a job, a house, etc. One must go along with that dictate. We are miles apart on this color issue. To qualify as honorable Caucasians, some of us are bleaching our skin and looking for lighter to Caucasian partners to make light children with." You know, when I said that, it reminded me of this past Super Bowl. I was at a Super Bowl party and talking with a group, and this one sister, she said, "Hey, you stop it. I don't want you trying to put stuff in my mind, trying to make me think and make change my mind." Really, you know. But what she said after that, or sometime after that in the discussion, was even deeper. She said the real remedy to this situation is for us to continue to mate either Caucasian male, African female, or African male, Caucasian female, whatever, to produce these offspring that will challenge their parents, whether they are African or Caucasian, to accept the reality of a, quote, multi-ethnic or multi-racial or multi-whatever society. Yeah. Yep. To qualify as honorable Caucasian, some of us are bleaching our skin and looking lighter or looking for Caucasian partners to make lighter children with. That's why Du Bois said the problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line. That was last century, because Du Bois said at the beginning of the last century. The problem of this century is the same thing, is the color line. We must gather ourselves and move through a new century united in our acceptance of the darkest African to the lightest African. We are one. As long as we remain separate on this issue of color, none of us who have African ancestors can ever be whole, and we can never unite as an African people. Yet that very survival of Africa is depending upon Pan-African unity. Why can't we see this? We must reject Caucasian European. We must reject European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. We must reject it. Our rallying cry must be Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. That's Marcus Garvey. Africa for the Africans at home and abroad. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tahimba. Check him out so you can understand why Africa should be for Africans. He'll take you there. Defending how we're going to deal with the issues of color is a bold step in expressing our self-determination. Relocating and the responsibility for defining Africanness is in the hands of Africans. Open the doors for self-determination. Before the Europeans came to Africa and conquered Africans and African land, we were a self-determined people. We governed ourselves. We provided for our people. We protected what was ours and served as an African god through systems of African spiritualism. Many moons and suns have come and gone, and in that time, under the brutal, inhuman Caucasian extremism, oppression, our will for self-determination has waned. Dormant and weak though our will to be, history calls us to rise, join minds and hands to draft a plan for liberation or perish from the face of the earth. We need schools to educate and commit our young people to developing the skills and knowledge to uplift our people. These are independent African schools. That's what we need. We don't need choice of charter. We don't need private schools still run by Europeans. We don't need the public schools, which indoctrinate us. We need independent African-centered schools. And the only teachers in the schools are African. And they must be African-centered. No Negroes allowed. These schools must be developed and funded by us. We cannot let others tell us not to build education institutions for our young or tell us how these institutions should be structured. We need to control our land, what is on it and what's under it. Surely a quick death awaits a people who occupy the richest continent on the planet but lack self-determination. Let me read that again. Surely a quick death awaits a people who occupy the richest continent on the planet but lack self-determination. Can't we see what's happening? All Africans are being exploited and oppressed. It doesn't matter where we're light or dark, rich or poor, continental or diasporan. The whole African world is on the line, and we cannot afford to play token games on the continent or in the diaspora. This is why Dr. King said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. As we work to build a consensus on self-determination, let us speak for ourselves, define ourselves, create for ourselves, and raise up a mighty community and nation. Practicing and exposing our right to free speech is a major pillar for self-determination. History teaches that oppressors become very reactionary at the slightest indication of a power change. One of the first acts is to silence all truth and disrupt any and all authentic organization. This Caucasian cover has been cast over the legitimate movements and outcries for freedom, justice, and equality of opportunity has had a suffocating effect on African free speech rights. We find ourselves unable or unwilling to speak our truth freely. That's why Claude McKay said in his poem, Outcry, he wrote, I will go back to darkness and to peace, but the great Western world holds me in fear, and I may never hope for full release. While it is alien God, I bend my knees. What at first appears has self-imposed, appears that self-imposed reaction of the speech reveals itself to be a government denial of Africans' free speech rights. As the system steps up its coercive ideas and speech control programs, such trigger phrases like militant, reverse racist, troublemaker, etc., are used to attack and silence our cries for African free speech. A multicultural, integrated, colorblind society and cultural free programs are promoted as the answer rather than the pacifiers they really are. On the other hand, such phrases and concepts as African-centered, African independence, and the promotion of multicolored, multicultural societies are rejected and criminalized. Hollywood mass produces films that promote African heroes for Caucasian people's rights. Some films allow a few Africans to promote their thoughts under the strict direction of Caucasian producers and directors. While all this speech is going on, it is not African people speaking. Caucasians are speaking through Africans, how Caucasians see the world and feel about it. The media restricts all stories that deal with the mass destruction of African life via AIDS, the criminal injustice system, drugs, and the Eurocentric miseducation system, and mass incarceration. Only the African-on-African crime or African self-destructive stories are promoted consistently and throughout and with thorough detail. These ideas and speech control programs lead us away from issues we need to address. We find ourselves talking about issues that have nothing to do with our problem or us. We must join forces to pull off the cover, the Caucasian cover suppressing African free speech, and tell our story to everyone we can reach. We must write and call all the media, government agencies, all government officials, church officials, and anybody else who needs to know and speak out on AIDS, the warehousing of African people in criminal justice system, the miseducation of African people, and the use of African people to fight in wars for Caucasian rights and issues. We should never grow tired of writing and calling and interneting in the world until everybody is talking about the plight of African people. Moving in step with the issues of our color must be embraced with a full and determined commitment. Speaking with one voice about our freedom and justice will align us for action. Locked arm to arm, we will march with confidence to meet what challenges that may come. We are closing ranks to jumpstart our struggle. Ashe, ashe, ashe. That is, once again, the Arrow, the Institute of the New World, the New African World. This, see, now, that piece I just read, there's not a damn thing that anybody, any right-thinking African can challenge. Nothing. Because that is our situation. That is what we must do. And so we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have more discussion. You can join the discussion. You can call us at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And we are happy that you're joining us. And you stay right here with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
中国大使馆文件通知，您有一封重要快件尚未领取。
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Godfather, James Brown, the big payback. That's right. That's what we need, the big payback, because they owe us, and we'll get it, but we'll only get it when we're together. All right. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, my program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Following my program on Monday and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Monday evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs for programming out of Philadelphia. Meeting following Acres of Diamonds is We Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And following that program is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 p.m. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursday. And then on Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore is 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Revive on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, Time for an Awakening, 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And you can become a part of the programming and you can give us your African perspective on whatever issues you want to talk about. You know, brothers and sisters, what I constantly try to do is give the information to lay the foundation for our justification to do whatever we must and have to do because our very existence is at stake. Now, you may not understand that, but if you listen to this program, you will. And I hope you get others. I don't do this program for money. In fact, I pay to do this. The people who I announce, I don't ask them for a dime. I feel they're good programs that need to be exposed. They need to be talked about. In fact, they need to be supported. The Black Talk Radio Network needs to be supported. We need brothers and sisters of goodwill and good conscience and are willing to make whatever sacrifices. I ain't saying for you to throw down no big dough. Whatever it is that you can handle. Because it is all necessary. Because, once again, African people's very lives are at stake. Talk about the Berlin Conference. The Berlin Conference of 1884-85. When Europeans physically in Berlin, Germany, sat at a table with a huge map of Africa, and each of them carved it up like a turkey, like a piece of cake. Each one of them wanted their own territory that was sometimes 400 or 500 times bigger than what they were, bigger than the country that it came from in England or in Europe. In fact, that was the start of Britain, the UK, taking everybody's stuff. You know, I tell you, I have such great disdain for the British, and you see them all the time. I mean, when you're online, if I don't care what one you use, if it's Google, if it's, what are the other ones that, you know, Firefox or whatever, I don't know. You know, they always have something in there about England, the royal family, the damn queen, all of that. They are a bunch of liars and thieves and murderers. That's what the British are. But they have such a nice face and everybody thinks it's so nice. Just like watching Wimbledon. There is no T on it. Some people call it Wimbledon. It's not Wimbledon. It's Wimbledon. I don't give a damn about that either. So call it what you want to, because I don't care about the language. Call it what you want to. But all that pomp and circumstance of who does this, who does that. I wish it was me, because I would buck the system just a bucket. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't come out there in white, come out there in red, black, and green, for real. The Berlin Conference, how Africa's lands and minerals were stolen. It is, however, most unfortunate that the richest region in mineral wealth resources still remains the most underdeveloped of all in the world. Many would blame the problems on bad leadership, but some others would tell you that the resolutions of the Berlin Conference are still in effect, and colonization only took a different route and a different face. How does Africa begin to recover from the unfavorable decisions made at the Berlin Conference? After 134 years, the effect still lingers. The Berlin Conference of 1884-85 still holds much blame for how Africa lost their rights to lands and minerals. And I see recently I didn't read the whole article, of course, on South Africa, Brother Malema, and the efforts there, and the efforts they're having there to take land back from the Europeans. Most of the land in South Africa, as I'm speaking, is still in the hands of Europeans. Most of the good land. There are some areas in South Africa where Caucasians have put a literal fence around that land to claim it, and saying that we are not any part of whatever government that South Africa has. We have our own, that we are sovereign. There ain't no damn place in the world that Africans can go in the world and claim something and say that this is with sovereign on anybody else's land. They would kill them. They would surely eradicate them. But in South Africa, in Namibia, and other parts, Europeans have done it. They are doing it. There is one question that I often ask myself when I ponder on Africa's problems and its origins. This question is also one which bothers any African who is conscious of our past and present. In the beginning of the 17th century, the 1800s, Africa was still intact and still had a few trading posts with European merchants. The quest for ivory led some of the Europeans inland, and this interaction with the interiors of Africa exposed the numerous natural mineral resources scattered over the continent. In our discussion yesterday at our ASCAC study group, they talked about Stanley Livingston, you know, Stanley and Livingston, and all the other explorers, and going into the inside of Africa and so forth. Because in the physical enslavement of our people, they mostly stand on a perimeter, particularly near the shores and the forts that they erected. And they went in, but not to the heart. They didn't go into what is now the Democratic Republic of the Congo. They didn't go into Uganda and other parts of Africa. But when they did and they saw what was there, see, the physical resource, human resource, had been exploited for hundreds of years, particularly by the Arabs, or those who profess Islam, that spread across when Islam came on the scene in the 600s, 7th century, and spread across North Africa and began to claim North Africa. And putting Africans into physical enslavement, physical bondage. The Arabs were very treacherous, has been and unfortunately continue to be. They are no friends. When the United States did what they did to Muammar Gaddafi, who was a friend, who was truly a friend for African people. That's why it angers me, because probably the biggest one who are labeled traitors to African people is the former president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. The blood of Muammar Gaddafi is on the hands of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton for what they have done. got a call. Let me take this call as I continue to read about the Berlin Conference of 1884-85. Good afternoon, caller 646. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, Oshie?
Hey, Jay, how are you today, brother?
I'm always good. Listen here, brother. You know, the bottom line is this. If you want the land back from the Urugu, you just got to kill him. That's all. He's not going to give you nothing back for free anyway. I wouldn't expect him to. Just like he took it, that's the way you're going to have to take it back. There's not going to be any type of negotiations with the Urugu. There ain't never been no damn negotiations with the Urugu and African people come out ahead. We just need to stop playing games with one another. It's the same thing with this reparation. You're not going to get reparations unless you take it, or you're in a position to have serious demands in place and consequences if they don't give it to you. That's why it's and a see, joke.
And see, that's
you
why
can't even
you're
get
right.
The group to come together.
And see, that's
to do the necessary thing to get reparations. Here it is. You got a bill H.R. 40 that is absolutely a joke. It's really, really, honestly, a disgrace to even have out there as the platform to ask this devil for reparations. What they're supposed to do is what Darcy and some of the others are doing now is coming together. But as usual, Negroes are infighting with one another over BS, over nothing of substance or values, and the devil just going about his business of keeping us in the checkmate position. So I don't want to hear nothing about no reparations until all of the groups come together in a room and hash out whatever has to be hashed out to come together as a united front. Because if it doesn't happen, we're not going to get nothing.
I agree.
And that's just the fact of the matter, because our history shows it.
And see, you get reparations from those who harmed you when you're strong, when you have finally realized your position and you close ranks. That's what I read from the arrow, us closing ranks, pulling our resources, doing for ourselves. And then once that began to happen, they know they owe us. That's why in a discussion I had, I said to the brother, I said, those who want reparations, they don't know African history. They don't know African solidarity. They don't know Pan-Africanism. They don't know it. In fact, when you had those people from ADOS, American descendants of, I even hate their title, but that they were arguing against. Jay, you got a lot of feedback. I'm gonna lot of feedback, Jay. I'll get you back on. But they were arguing against those brothers and sisters who advocate for Pan-Africanism. But if you are a Pan-Africanist, you understand the need for reparations. Because if you're a Pan-Africanist, you understand the tremendous loss, tremendous sacrifice of our people and our ancestors on the continent, in the Middle Passage, and now throughout the diaspora. You understand that. And you understand by coming together as a Pan-African force and now having that unity, you make the demands of those who have. Because to me, Brother Jay, not to do so does a dishonor and a disservice to our ancestors who suffered tremendously. So that's what I'm saying. No, those who want reparations right now, all they want is a damn check. They just want some money. But those who understand it are those who are African-centered, African-conscious, those who are Pan-Africans, those who are nationalists.
Well, that's why I say people have to come together.
Yes.
Into a room and sit down and have the necessary discussions to get on one accord. Because if we don't get on one accord, we're not going to get nothing. And the way that it's going now, we're not going to get nothing. And I ain't even looking to deal with it. Because our people need to be educated on the things in regards to our sovereignty as a people. We need to come together to deal with the most minute and simplest of things that we can't even address or deal with, like gentrification, our communities, our education. You know, to be honest with you, Negroes are not ready for reparations. Negroes don't even understand what reparations are, nor do they know what to do with reparations if they get it. So in order for us to get to that point of reparations, we need to educate ourselves. And listen, why don't we just stop playing games? You know what I mean? We're into too much mental masturbation to be a free people at this time, because we are being absolutely slaughtered by any and everyone because we don't come together as a group. We have nothing in place. And let me tell you something. As this thing plays out with the Baba Louis and the rest of these individuals, they're going to just place them in a stronger and stronger and stronger position, and they're going to put their foot in our behinds every chance they get, because if you watch them and you study them, that's what they do. Listen, we in trouble.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's no
doubt
about it.
We don't even realize the type of trouble we as African people are really in because of our so-called love to integrate with our enemies.
Yeah.
We have no friends. Dr. Clark told us that.
That's right.
We have no friends. And he told us that 40, 50 years ago.
Exactly.
So if you don't realize it by now that you have no friends and the direction that you're doing to make so-called BS allyship, then, hey, whatever happens, happens, man. Whatever happens, happens. We in trouble.
All right, Jay, you're right. We are. Let me continue to read on the... because I think the...
Hotep, and have a good day, brother. I'll get back to you.
Please do,
right,
Jake.
You too.
All right, brother. Peace. So, how does Africa begin to recover from unfavorable decisions made at this conference? After 134 years, the effect still lingers. The Berlin Conference of 1884-85 still holds much blame for how Africa lost her rights to lands and minerals. This is one question that I often ask myself when I ponder on Africa's problems and its origins. The question is also one which bothers any African who is conscious of our past and present, and also hopes to see a future. Yeah, at that. In the beginning of the 17th century, the 1600s, Africa was still intact and still had a few trading posts with European merchants. The quest for ivory led some of the Europeans inland, and this interaction with the interiors of Africa exposed the numerous natural mineral resources scattered over the continent. The Berlin Conference was triggered by a clash of interest between some of the European powers at the time. King Leopold of Belgium, between 1878 and 1885, secretly sought to organize a nation in Africa. It was going to be called the Congo Free State. His plot was discovered by the French, and in 1881, France raised its flag over newly founded Brazzaville, which is currently the Republic of Congo. Portugal also claimed to the Congo area, citing that the Congo was its only colony. France, Italy, Germany, Britain, Portugal, from 1881, found themselves in a battle for control of various parts of Africa. Germany became aggressive and launched its own expeditions. The French and the British became scared of the development. So, to ease the tensions, King Leopold of Belgium convinced France and Germany that common trade in Africa would be good for their countries. 13 nations in Europe, including the United States, were invited by German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck to take part in the Berlin Conference. The conference was of Portuguese initiative and supported by Britain. The European nations were invited to work out a joint policy on the African continent. All were mattered was informed of this conference, but Africa was not. All who mattered was informed of this conference. No Africans were at the table, because to Europeans, they weren't human. To Europeans, it was mind over matter. They didn't give a damn of what they did to us. They don't mind it, because to them, we don't matter. And brothers and sisters, it is that way today. It is the same as the Dred Scott decision of 1857. That Europeans have no rights, that Africans have no rights that Caucasian people are bound to respect. The European nations were invited to work out a joint policy on the African continent. All who mattered was informed of this conference, but African was not. We, whose lands were to be divided, did not get an invitation to state our opinion in the matter. The conference opened up in November 15th of 1884 and closed on the 26th February 1885. The following nations were in attendance: Austria, Hungary, Belgium, Denmark, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Ottoman Empire, which is now Turkey, Portugal, Russia, Spain, Sweden, Norway, United Kingdom, and the United States. It is important to note that the United States reserved the rights to accept or decline the conclusion of the conference. The conference, although it lacked moral grounds, was upheld by these European powers. They made certain resolutions without much concern to the effects on Africans. The resolutions still date are seen as unfair to Africa. The general act of the conference saw the abolishment of the African trade, the human trade. This move was gained public acceptance for the resolution of the conference. And of course, who would want to continue captivity when they had discovered resources such as gold, timber, rubber, land, and markets, just to mention a few. After millions of African captives had been taken to build Europe and America, it was then time for Europe to shift its interest to mineral resources beneath the African soil. To reinforce their claim to Africa's land and property, the Berlin Conference empowered Europe with the principle of effective occupation. The principle stated that the nations involved could acquire rights over indigenous lands only if they possessed them or had effective occupation. This implies that they had to have treaties with local leaders, flew their flag there, and also established an administration in the territory to govern it with a police force to keep order. They could also make use of the colony for economic purpose. Since after the Berlin Conference and the sharing of Africa, not one African state is progressive. Not one has been allowed by colonizers to reach its full potential. The former colonies of France still pay colonial tax to France without their indigenous central banks. Now you know why I can't stand the when that attack happened at that club and everybody, even including us, were having those French colors on their Facebook pages, just to hell with the French. Look at the Haitian history, where the French had to pay, where Haiti had to pay reparations to France while they tore every damn thing up when they had to go. And even other parts of Africa, when the French had to let go of the lands that they took, Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, and so forth. Since after the Berlin Conference and the sharing of Africa, not one African state is progressive. Not one has been allowed by the colonizers to reach its full potential. The former colonies of France still pay colonial tax to France without their indigenous central bank, while the former colonies of Britain, such as Nigeria, has been manipulated politically because of its crude oil, among other resources. Still date, there are mines all over Africa overseen by European companies and governments still today, still at this very moment as we're talking, all over Africa, European countries, diamonds. There are more diamonds found in Africa than any part of the world. There may be some diamonds. Hell, they used to find diamonds in Arkansas. In fact, there's still diamond mines in Arkansas. But nowhere are diamonds found more than in Africa. The main import and the main export of the illegal state of Israel is diamonds. is diamonds. European Jews control the diamond industry. They control the diamond industry. De Beers. They control it. The proceeds from these mines do not return to the ordinary people in Africa. Instead, it is shared between the corrupt leaders and their foreign counterparts. Africa's abundant minerals are still an attraction for the powers that confer the Berlin Conference decades after its independence. One would be bold to argue that if African kings and leaders were invited to take part in the Berlin Conference, maybe things would have turned out better or different for the continent. I doubt it. It is, however, most unfortunate that the richest region in mineral resources still remains the most underdeveloped in all the world. Many would blame the problem on bad leadership, but some others would tell you that the resolutions of the Berlin Conference still are in effect, and colonization only took a different route. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, these are the facts. These are the facts. And this is what has happened to African people. This is what continues to happen to African people. Here's another notorious individual that we need to understand. Because as the Berlin Conference was taking effect, as Europeans were taking Africa's land and taking Africa's resources and putting African people into servitude on their own land, during the brutal scramble for Africa and Africa's resources, at least 2 million Africans, and this is how Cecil Rhodes killed millions of Southern Africans for diamonds and land. During the brutal scramble for Africa and Africa's resources, at least 2 million Africans were killed in the scramble for ivory tusks, for piano keys, and billiard balls. At the time, the center of the ivory trade was Connecticut. 80% of the Nama and Hira people of Namibia were murdered in cold blood by the Germans. They were killed and forced to the desert, where they were left to die in the desert without food, water, or shelter. Germany still to date has never recognized this genocide or paid reparations, even as they have paid billions in reparations to European Jews for their so-called Holocaust. But Germany's crime in Africa is not what we want to talk about here. During the same time period of Germany's massacre in Namibia, the British colonizer Cecil Rhodes came to Southern Africa. He believed so much in British imperialism and promoted it. He is credited as saying, to prevent civil war, you must become more imperialistic. You must take it all. There's a poster of Cecil Rhodes straddling the continent of Africa with his hands folded in an arrogant posture, and saying, I know what God would like for me to do is paint the map of Africa British red. Cecil Rhodes was a British man responsible for untold, unending devastation and violence in the region of Southern Africa. His goal was to instill British imperialism from Cape Town to Cairo and build the Cape Town-Cairo Railway. Cecil Rhodes was a perpetrator of genocide, who was responsible for the displacement of millions of African people before the benefit of Caucasian settlers. He was instrumental in the enslavement of millions of African people on their own land. His part of the legacy of Caucasian people who came from Europe and became wealthy from the theft of gold and diamonds in Southern Africa. Rhodes founded the popular De Beers Diamond Cartel. He left Britain for South Africa when he was only 18 years old. He took over the diamond mines at Kimberley, South Africa, and others in the area. By his early 20s, he was already a millionaire, but he did not retire. He made fortunes off the sweat of the indigenous nations and nations of Southern Africa. At a young age, he believed in subjugating Africans for the benefit of Europe. Maybe he was born with this kind of hate or just like other Europeans, he had the hunger to see Africans' blood flow. Now, it just ain't him. It's European people. Europe is a culture of violence. European people have been violent from their evolutionary development because of that region, because of their environment. They are violent prone people then and now. He was the architect of apartheid in South Africa. Rhodes explicitly believed that the Anglo-Saxon race was a master race. This ideology drove him to not only steal approximately 1 million miles of South African land, but also to facilitate the murder of hundreds of thousands of Africans, Southern Africans. Many accounts actually number his victims in their millions. He established a paramilitary private army, the British South African Company Police. That army was responsible for the systematic murder of to hundreds of thousands of indigenous people of present-day South Africa. His hateful amendment of the Masters and Servants Act, reintroduced conditions of torture for native and indigenous laborers. His monstrous racist land grabs set up a system in which the unlawful and legitimate acquisition of land through armed force was routine for Caucasian people. Cecil Rhodes despised democracy. In 1887, he told the House of Assembly in Cape Town, "The native is to be treated as a child and denied the franchise. We must adopt a system of despotism in our relationship with the barbarians of South Africa." The barbarians, of course, are us. Now, what kind of sadist, sadistic, and self-deceiving could that be? You murder a people, take their land, and then refer to them as barbarians. The conscience of a European colonizer will surprise you when you view their atrocities throughout history and how they keep reminding themselves that they were doing right. His Franchise and Ballot Act in 1892 effectively eliminated the voting rights of Africans. To hell with voting. Damn voting. On many occasions, in fact, let me pull this piece out on voting. I want you to remember this. We're talking about voting. Remember, none of my ancestors died so I could vote for the Caucasian people that killed them or into a system that we can never change. I don't give a damn about damn voting. Somebody put up there the other day about the importance of voting and registering. Hell with that. The only vote I want to see is a plebiscite that deals with our struggle. A plebiscite or a vote that deals with how we're going to separate from this evil entity and reclaim our Africanness and go back to the homeland and reclaim our land and work with our brothers and sisters there to build Africa for Africans. That's the only damn vote I want. His Franchise and Ballot Act, I read that. His Franchise and Ballot Act in 1892 effectively eliminated the voting rights of Africans. On many occasions, he reminded his colleagues of the extreme caution that they must when it comes to granting the franchise to colored people. Rhodes went on to Zimbabwe. He attacked and killed the Matabele and the Shona. Although they launched a fierce resistance, which was led by their leader, Lobengula. I remember seeing a documentary on that. That's when they found out, too, that he was a homosexual. And I ain't trying to jam up homosexuality. I don't care less what he was. All I know, he was a monster. Cecil Rhodes is a monster, and every place on the African continent where everything his likeness is at should be removed, should be defaced, should be taken down and destroyed. Obengula, the documentary show how he tricked them and how he killed the Matabele people. Cecil Rhodes paid mercenary armies from England and supplied them with Maxim machine guns. With just five of these machine guns, the English slaughtered more than 5,000 African people in one afternoon alone. After that, they celebrated with dinner and champagne. Cecil Rhodes' gay lover said he, thoroughly enjoyed the outing. He said, the slaughter of over 5,000 Africans has sport and adventure. How noble. These were the same people who brought the gospel of peace and love to Africa through missionaries. And that's why Africa is, damn, I wanted to say fucked up. Oh, excuse me. I'm not supposed to cut. But you know what I'm talking about, because it is effed up today. Nowhere seems that Christianity is more loved and respected. I've seen so many white pictures of white Jesus around when I was in Ghana back in April. It was sickening. The Chakwe, Shona, and the Zulu people were among the indigenous tribes, the indigenous nations who led powerful struggles against the European invasion. Cecil Rhodes was known to help set up the apartheid system in South Africa and pass the laws which were used on the Jim Crow South in the United States. The past laws were mainly colonial taxations of African people to force them to work to be used as near captive labor in the diamond mines. The Africans who worked in the diamond mines were forced to stay away from family and wife in compounds with only cold tea and bread. These were much the same conditions you find today in the various mines in Africa. When Cecil Rhodes died, the De Beers diamond cartel was taken over by the Oppenheimer family. The Oppenheimers, European Jews. So I'm saying, European Jews. That's why diamonds are controlled today by European Jews. There are no diamond mines in the what kind of word I wanted to use? State of Israel, the corrupt state of Israel. The illegal state of Israel on Palestinian land. There are no diamond mines. But as I stated earlier, the main import and export are diamonds. They control the diamond industry. The atrocity that took place in Sierra Leone and other West African nations were what De Beers itself had done to African people for hundreds of years. The greed and gluttony of European governments and corporations of Africa's resources have lasted from days before colonization till today. His vision was part of the British Empire's vision, on which they boasted that the sun never sets on the British Empire because their empire went around the world. The then British Empire included 77 countries, including India, and 15 nations in Africa. 458 million people were oppressed under this, quote, empire. When I was saying this to somebody a little while ago about the British, how I can't stand them and how I hate to see the British on the television and all this, their children, and the fact that this, they have some mixed race person now and that's supposed to be something. I hate them. I despise them. Their wealth comes from African displacement. When I saw the so-called queen sitting down with all that bars of gold all around her, there are no gold mines in Europe. Zero. Zilch. They got this gold not because they paid for it, not because they bargained for it, not because they traded for it. They stole it. Everything, that carriage she had made of pure gold, is stolen. His vision was part of Europe's empire vision, on which they boasted that the sun never set, because their empire went around the world. The then British Empire included 77 countries, including India, and 15 nations in Africa. 458 million people were oppressed under this so-called empire. It accounted that one quarter of the world's population at that time was under British colonization, colonialism. At that time, England had one of the highest standards of living, which they achieved through near starvation of people in India and Africa and their so-called other colonies. People like Cecil Rhodes should not be celebrated by Europeans the way he is celebrated today, except the present generation are directly endorsing his atrocities in Africa. I repeat, people like Cecil Rhodes should not be celebrated by Europeans, but he is, the way he is celebrated today, except the present generations are directly endorsing his atrocities in Africa. And they don't give a damn as long as they are fulfilled. And now you understand why at times I speak so adamantly and with such passion the way that I do. Because that is the crux of our problem. We want to blame ourselves. But clearly I've demonstrated, at least I hope I have to some extent, but hell, not me. You just do the research for yourself. Hell, go to Africa. That's why the people, when they're talking about taking the land back, the land was stolen. Many people died. Let the Caucasians, how about this one, y'all? Let's do this. We want Africa back. All those in Africa, go back to where you came from. Africans here in the United States, in North America, wherever we are in this hemisphere, those who want to go back and help establish Africa has a continent where African people come from and reside and share equally in the resources and have a system where not one person garners all the damn wealth at the expense of everybody else, but has a system of shared responsibility, has a cooperative system. We kicking out the Arabs. Go back. Get out. We kicking out the Chinese. Get out. We kicking out all of the Europeans, whoever the hell they are. We kicking out the Indians. Go back to India. All the Africans that want to come home, wherever you are, and you're coming home with a mindset of helping African people, not in some glorified or romanticized about your personal gain of wealth. We're coming back home. To me, dear brothers and sisters, that's Pan-Africanism. And it is the only solution that we as African people have. There is no other solution for African people. We're dealing with an evil entity. We're dealing with some people whose mind they're selfish and greedy and they don't want to share. And that dominant mindset has pretty much permeated the planet. Because European influence dominates the planet. People wear a suit and damn tie because of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege has the dominant mindset on the planet. Hell, Africans still wear them white damn wigs. They still wear them damn wigs today in their courts. They have Christian church praising a Caucasian Jesus. You can't tell me what these folks have done to us is not evil. The mind. That's what I'm saying. In fact, somebody mentioned the other day. Oh, no, it was last night at the group session. He said, should it be military or the mine? I said, you know, if you have a military and you taking up guns and you don't have the right mind, you know, look what's happening now. The community has a whole lot of guns, but those guns are not turned on the people who put us in this condition. The guns are turned on each other. We got guns. We should go to the Huey P. Newton Gun Club or any other gun club to learn how to use them properly and who to use them on. That's what we should do. Because we need to protect ourselves. Because when we make the move for liberation, we got to defend it. Why do you think when I read the Inyesasim of daily revolutionary thoughts, a lot of it deals with the fact that we got to fight. When we make the ultimate of purging European mindset out of us and infusing ourselves with an African-centered or Pan-Africanist or nationalist mindset, we're going to have to defend that. And the first person we're going to have to defend that with are Negroes. Because Negroes are the buffer that protects the cracker, excuse me, man, that protects the European from the legitimate aspirations of our people. We have a caller, 267.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie.
Hey,
Ralph. Ralph, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Ralph. How are you today, brother?
I'm fine, man. I'm listening to you give us the history of how these countries came into power and were developed. And I was just thinking, I said, you know what? The only way we can actually get our minds right and get our stuff right, if we have sovereignty. But to protect that sovereignty, Brother Oshie, I believe we need a military.
Yes, we do.
You know what I mean?
Yes, we do.
Because we're just getting invaded and stepped on and resources taken again.
Yeah.
Point blank. You know, they were going over there to invade Iran. But they must have found out that Iran got something for that ass if they go up in there. That's the
yes.
only reason
yes. Yes.
why this man will not just take what he wants to take. Mm-hmm. Because I realize the reason why they were going into Iran is because the puppet that they placed in power down in Venezuela got ousted. And mm-hmm. they lost a lot of money on that oil.
Right.
So they said, we got to get it from somewhere. So they were going over to Iran to grab that. Until they must have found out, like, wait a minute, these jokers got something for our ass. We better.
That's right.
We better. You notice how the news didn't stop about oil tankers
oh, yeah.
being bombed and all that stuff stopped.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we ain't nothing with them. And that means that country had some kind of military might.
And they,
that means North Korea got some kind of military might.
Exactly.
So that's what it takes. For true sovereignty, Brother Oshie,
yeah.
I'm going to borrow what one of their heroes said. You give me liberty or give me death.
I say.
Until we're ready to die for what we really want, we're just spitting in the wind.
That's right, brother.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I just had to call in, bro. I'm glad you're back on air.
Thank you. I appreciate
really
it.
Yeah, we really needed some serious conversation.
I appreciate you know it, I mean? Man. I really do. And I'm glad to be back, too. And you know, I tell you, you're right, Brother Ralph. We have a tough road to hoe considering the mindset of our people globally on the continent and throughout the diaspora. There are so many of us. I hope I can get Conrad World on Wednesday, because we were talking in our conversation together about the many of our people, particularly our young people who don't want to be African, our young people who just, you know, who believe that voting and who believe that there's some way that Caucasians will share with the government and just that just foolishness is just sad. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, man.
You know,
well, Brother Oshie, our people and, you know, mentally, I think we're traumatized because when I seen, you know, just the other day, and I hate doing this, and I gotta, like, look inward at myself when I see stuff like that. Like, you know, a dark, beautiful dark-skinned sister with a blonde wig on. And you know, when I see stuff, you know, when I see stuff like that, Brother Oshie, I said, "Man, we got, man, our biggest battle is within ourselves.
It's in our minds.
Each and every one of us.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then maybe we'll stand a chance. You know, and I'm gonna listen to your brother that come on after you.
Okay.
You know, I'm a
Brother Frank.
Check
give
him
a chance.
Out. You know, and if he opens up the dialogue, maybe I'll call in and try to dialogue with him.
Well, I'm gonna
you
be listening.
But if he wants to teach, then I might just have to like just listen until you know, whatever. But anyway, man. But look, you have a good rest of the day. I'm glad you're back on, brother. I just had to call and say like, true sovereignty takes military might, because there's a lot of parasites out here that love to grab what you have.
That's right.
Because, especially if they're lacking.
That's right, and they are. Because Africa has had and continues to have all of the resources that everybody wants. You're right.
Yes, sir.
All right, Brother Ralph.
All right, then, Brother OG.
Appreciate you, man.
One.
Thank you. Appreciate you,
appreciate
brother.
Appreciate you, too.
All right, brother.
Peace, bro.
Peace. Yeah, Brother Ralph is on point, and he's right. We got to defend it. I keep saying it. Like I said, when you listen to me when I do those daily from the Inye Say Some, that's what it's talking about. We have to be warriors. We have to teach our young people. That's why I'm saying the school system does not do that. This system will use you. Maybe I'll do that on another program to explain all of the conflicts that this system, that America has been involved in without one damn declaration of war. How they have vamped on other countries. How they sent drones and they bombed America is the, as Dr. King said, the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. Now, the brothers and sisters who are in that, I'm hoping that they ain't been so damn indoctrinated that they can see, like some of the brothers that I've had on this program, like Brother DJ, Brother Frank, they've been in the military service, but they've came out with their right minds. That's very few, because many of the people believe, because you're indoctrinated to believe that you are defending democracy. You are defending that way of white life. And you vigorously go out there and shoot and kill other people who haven't declared any. There is no issue affecting America. But America says we got to do this to protect our interests and the interests of our allies. The European, in their development of being selfish and greedy and sexist and don't want to share, is a mindset that has had deleterious effects on African people. And unfortunately, that mindset is still very pervasive, and yet we don't check it. More importantly, we don't check ourselves in response to it. We pretty much acquiesce to it, and some of us believe in it wholeheartedly our damn selves. I'm going to get ready to get off this horn so I can make way for my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, and the Black People Matrix to hear what he has to say today. And I hope that you'll join me on Wednesday and Friday as well, and every opportunity that I can to come before a listening audience, because I come before you not asking you to embrace this culture, not asking you to register and vote and participate in this evil, corrupt system. Not asking you to feel good about your monetary wealth and your position and so forth, and the fact that you drive this kind of car and have this kind of job and live in this kind of neighborhood. No, I come here asking you to understand, as African people, we are one, and asking you to join us as one, to deal with the issues that affect African people. Because if we don't, we will cease being a people. We will be eliminated from this planet, eliminated from Africa and its lands and its resources, taken over by Chinese, taken over by Indians, taken over by Europeans. And African people that are left will be servants because that's all they can be. Africans in the diaspora who try to eke out a living in lands that are not our own will be eliminated, isolated, and eliminated, like many of them have been. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, let us come together and do for self. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodio. Abibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodio family. Peace.